can't help it, just got to thank God publicly. Anyone at all? Anybody? Yes, you can.
I want to thank God because we're solitary.
Amen.
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 Anyone else? Not so long next time. Anyone else?
I just want to praise the Lord. For 10 years before I found this church, I wandered, and there was just no church in the area that cared. And I've got a caring church.
That's a fact. I'll give a testimony. It's great to be back again. There was a reason why Sunday was canceled last. God had a plan.
Yeah.
That'll be evident by and by. I'm so happy that our friends from many, many years, the Sowers, are with us. Gary, I've written a few letters of recommendation for Gary, and I always say this. I like him so much. This is hard for a missionary to say, but if money's a problem having him in, give my monthly or whatever quarterly month.
No!
Give it to him. Just that one time. Give it to him. Because it's good. Amen? Okay. Praise the Lord. He's going to be preaching at 1 o'clock. Anyone else? Anyone just have a testimony? Just want to brag on God.
I want to praise the Lord that we've got a video projector
that works.
Screen that's working.
We were testing it before.
That's the way it should be.
Find where my thing went to. It's in here somewhere. All right, here we are.
I'm Jan Gary. I just want to praise God in my extended family. There's health issues, emotional issues, but how God is using those to soften hearts toward the gospel.
Just praise God for Sunday school this morning, and you know, teaching the little kids can be really difficult sometimes, and I just had a really sweet time with Trevor today. We were able to read and talk about the Lord and things that the Lord has done, and he knew his verse, and it was just a really sweet time for him. Praise God for that.
Amen.
We had a good Sunday school. Sometimes I make a little confession. I traveled many churches. Sunday school in many churches is just filler. Just all we had. We can't. It's scheduled. It's out on the board outside on the sign. We got to do something from 10 o'clock to 10:30 before we can go get our coffee. It wasn't filler today. It was good. It was a good lesson. There was passion there. It was real. It was good. Amen. Anyone else? Mrs. Scott is with us today. Praise the Lord. I gotta mind my own, my jokes and stuff.
Thank you for having me here. And also, thank you all for taking care of my health.
Amen. That's right. Great. Anyone else? Yes, sister.
I praise God for Dad's openness to the Bible, and I've continued reading it together.
Amen.
Not saved.
You know, just so you understand, her father's in his 90s, a veteran of World War II, Iwo Jima, Marine, and Roman Catholic, and he's finally agreed, been sitting reading the Bible every night with his daughter and such.
Amen.
Real blessed.
That's good. Amen. One more chance. Just have to brag on God. Brother Montgomery.
Before this church, I almost threw my family away, and just thank this church for helping us put it.
Amen.
Fantastic. That's good. You guys kind of grow on us. We like you. We're kind of your... It's easy to be comfortable here.
Amen.
Amen. It's easy to be convicted, but it's easy to be comfortably convicted. Something like that. Yes, sir. Oh, yep.
I just like to praise God for this church family. They are our family.
Amen.
And I praise God for the way they all work together.
Yep. Amen. Amen. That's true. All right, by and by we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2. We do preach, but there's a reason, digital projection. I'm going to ask you to do something, a little bit of a change today. We've been talking about change all week. This morning, I want you to change your mind about who you are. I want you to pretend you're Vietnamese. All right? You know what Vietnamese are? Not Chinese, not Korean, but Vietnamese. How do you know when you're Vietnamese? When all you want to do is come to the United States, you're Vietnamese. Please, can I go back? New York looks really good from over there to here. It really does. So, praise the Lord. People always ask me, you know, what? We know what you don't do, but what do you do? Because I'm always saying, I don't plan indigenous churches. I'm not an indigenous person, right? But here, so I wanted this morning, you're going to be in the place of Vietnamese, and we're going to do a Vietnamese lesson. I've done it several times over there, and I hope it's a blessing. They seem to like it. They've asked me to come back and do it several times, so that's really what you're going to see today. It's practical. And I think clear. Now, one reason why I have to do it with a projector, there's several reasons. One, there's a language barrier. And for me to speak Vietnamese in a sermon can be interesting. I can get by, but I can make some mistakes. And if you make a mistake, that's all they think about. They you know, that's all they, whatever it was, you know, he called your mother a cow or something, you know, something. That's all they know after that. You know, that's it. So, not good. But it is interesting, though. Pastor Ta, I brought Ta over here, and he would introduce me. He was trying to be kind. It was a large group of people. And he wanted to thank me for being kind and bringing him to the United States. And his English was so-so. And he stood before many of my peers and he said, "No, I want to thank Mr. Paul because he's really, he wanted to say a unique man. But he said publicly, he is a man eunuch." And then the next group was at a pastor's conference. These highfalutin. I feel like pressure. Like I go to pastor. I don't know why I go to pastor's conferences. Some of them have gotten better, but it used to be the manic depressive paranoia conference, and I just don't fit that. But I took him there to meet some guys, and of course they didn't talk to him. They just talked about their own among their own groups and so on. And he gets up and he goes, "Here's the 60 of my peers, and some of them support us, and so on, the whole deal, you know." And apparently I snore. So I've been told. In fact, I wake myself up sometimes snoring. But Ta and I would travel, and we'd share the same motel room and such and such, or same room at a house and so on. He'd always complain that you're like the bear. You're snoring, so you sound like the bear in the room. Well, he was joking with me the whole time. It was kind of cute and funny. But he missed his pronunciation when in front of my peers. He goes, I can't sleep at all. On Mr. Paul's side of the room, there's beer. So having it digitally, it helps with the words. Also, in Vietnam, for example, the double door there, the church, in Vietnam, if you leave those doors, the street is right there. And there's no glass in the windows or anything, so it's very loud. And you can't hear very well. So they project, you know, there's always horns blowing and traffic and people's hawking stuff, you know, and trying to buy whatever. It's just crazy. So I found it more effective to teach. So again, because you're Vietnamese this morning, right? We're doing a Vietnamese thing. And our topic today is the workmanship, God's workmanship. Workmanship is this. The product, this is a little engineering, but it's really basic. The product is nothing more than the sum of the processes that have gone into it. Amen? When you look at a product, if you think it's a quality product, whether it's, you know, a piece of furniture or a quality car, there's a Cadillac out there, something like that, you think, oh, that's a good product. But you know that it's good or it's acceptable because of all of the processes that have gone into it. And they've worked on those processes and they've improved and they've improved them. And we, the Bible says this, we're in Ephesians chapter 2.
Yeah.
Look at verse 10. I can do it in Vietnamese if you want. Sản phẩm kết quả của tất cả kết quả tình con biết ngài. We are the result. We are the product of God's processes in our lives. See if that'll work. There you go. Here are some simple things that I've done, just little basic stuff. Well, that's just a table. You know, it's a lot of work. There's a lot of steps to do something, you know, and the more complex it is, and so on and so forth. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Let me pray, and then we move along. We've got something else going on, so I got to watch my time today. Lord, again, bless your people. Thank you for sunshine. Thank you for your many gifts. Lord, thank you for the encouragement in the Sunday school hour. Now, Lord, I pray that we could be a blessing. I pray that this little demonstration would be hopeful and helpful to the hearers. Lord, may you receive all the honor and glory. Lord, I'm grateful to be here with my friends, and good to see my friends from Rochester as well. And Lord, just pray that you'd speak to us. Give us ears to hear. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Let's see. Okay, you've seen enough of that stuff. For we are his workmanship. We often read 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For, what's the for there? The for is there. Wherefore is therefore? Because of this. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that was his design, that we should walk in them. Do you realize that you are God's workmanship? Your life, your very being, is the result, the product of God at least attempting to work in your life. Largely by and by. Thank God sometimes he supersedes our will. And he does his will. We often pray that way, you know. They just aren't getting it. God, you know, if you have to be Calvinist today or something, do whatever, or Armenian, whatever, however that works, you know, go around. They don't get it, but you get it. And so you pray that way. Let's see how this works. Well, it begins with a design. It says here that we were ordained there. See that in that verse? Hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ordain, you could, some words to, you know, some synonyms. It would be loose, but you could say a design, a blueprint, a plan. That's the pattern. Anytime you make something, even something simple, you're going to see something simple being made. There has to be a plan. Any of you guys ever like work with wood or shop and you start from nothing and you think of something? You ever go out and I have a little wood shop. I go out there. If I don't have a plan, if I don't have it in writing, you know what I do for like hours? I just wonder, well, gee, I don't know. Yeah, I can't even cut a board because I'm not even sure what I'm going to do with it. We have to have a pattern. We have to have design. Thank God. We have a pattern. I believe every aspect of our lives is shown according to his word, according to his design. Amen? I think this is a Bible-believing church. I'm sure it is. So I'm not going to park there on that. But don't you know that for the Vietnamese to hear that for the first time, they're just stunned. You know that even your members are written in his book. right?
Yeah.
Before you were born, you were written in his book. He's got the plan. He's got the blueprints for you. What a wonderful thing a designer can do.
But we are his workmanship creating. We're going to start a little project now. And we have to start with some stock. And boy, it's pretty tough. I don't know if you can get all that, but basically the first part is quoting Ephesians 2:10. And all this is saying,
because of what it says in Ephesians 2:10 that you have in English, now that you have a plan, it's time to start exercising the plan. It's time to walk in them.
We have this old farm truck here. My buddy had a load of old oak lumber. I don't know if you can see that lumber. It's pretty rough. It sat up in his garage. It was useless. He just gave it to me because it was useless. It was all cracked, twisted, gnarly, knotted. Birds had perched above it. You know, that was what was on it. And, you know, it was whitewashed. And it was pretty ugly. Pretty rough stuff. But he says, I'll give it to you. I think you can do something with it as long as you do it for the Lord. So, okay, I'll try it. I'll take it. Amen? So here's the deal. Here's my assistant, a neighbor kid there. By the way, I have to say this, so don't call the police or whatever. This is just a demonstration. He would wear his safety glasses, and he would put his hands in his pocket if I ever ran a machine. I don't let boys run around without safety glasses and touching sharp things and turning and so on and so forth. So don't call like the labor board. And you know, it's just an illustration. I don't know if you can see that though, but that wood there, it's illustrated. You can see how dirty it is. Oh, it's ugly. You just think, oh, it's firewood. Well, that's what it's bound for, is the fire. And when you measure that, he's got the little tape measure. Every piece is different. There's not a straight edge on any of them. You can't work it. You can't do anything with it because it's thicker, it's thinner. What are you going to do? You can just build something really rough. Or what most people do is just they burn it. They burn it. Christ found you in that same state.
Sure did.
There wasn't a straight edge on you. There was nothing good. While we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, poop and splinters and knots and sap and gnarls and twists and iniquity. Iniquity, what is iniquity? It's something twisted. The iniquitous trail, when they would twist when the Union Army, Sherman, they marched through Georgia and they would destroy the rails. They found the Confederates would rebuild them. So we'll fix them. They'd heat them up and they'd twist them. And there was no fixing them then. They were done. And it was the iniquitous trail, the twisted trail. So there's something in us. It's twisted. It's don't blame your environment. Don't blame your mom or dad, right? It's you. It's in you. It's part of you. There's not a lot of value there initially. That machine there,
a little more sound out of that. That's a joiner. Anybody know what a joiner does? It looks like an aircraft carrier. It's long and flat.
Is that a rotating?
Yeah, it gives you a straight edge, right, brother? It gives you a straight edge. It's the beginning. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 13. You got your Bibles there? Look at your Bibles for a minute. We'll get back to the slide. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle of wall of partition between. So I'm going to stop there. I hate to stop in the beginning of a sentence or in the middle, but just for the point's sake. When you're dealing with something or somebody, you need an edge you can measure from. If you're doing a woodworking project, you have to take your wood and it has to be tight to some kind of fence or some. You have to use, it's called a datum. You need a reference point. And it has to be a sure point. If you build off a crooked point, you're going to have a mess.
So part of your process is just to have a straight edge. Amen? Mm-hmm. Our straight edge is this. He is our peace. I'm saved. When Pastor Sauer and I talk, we don't talk about the old days. I mean, before we were saved. That was crooked. It was dirty. It was useless. We refer to our good point. We have a new relationship. Amen? It says here that if any man is in Christ, behold, all things have become new. Why would I, when I talk with Brother Dale every week, every night we pray together, I never call Dale the drug addict, Dale the this or that. He doesn't call me the same, right?
Right.
I call him my brother, because that's my reference point to him. Amen?
Absolutely.
I don't really care what you do. It doesn't matter. You ever get these testimonies? Oh, I gave a testimony how you got saved. And the guy will talk about 10 minutes about what he did before. Oh, yeah, then I got saved. And that was it. Well, he's just exalting, you know. I was the worst. Well, you're the worst. I don't think you got it. Because, you realize it's but dung. You know, don't pile it on yourself. We have a new relationship. We have a new beginning, a new straight edge. And it's Christ. After we have our straight edge, after we receive Christ and we're born again, and now we have a new reference point, we have a new life, usually things come away before they come on.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, we bring baggage with us, don't we? It's not like Beaver Cleaver land where, oh gosh, Wally, I think I'll get saved. Great, you know, tomorrow I'll be a deacon and in 3 days I'll be the pastor, right? Oh, you know, shucks, you know. He was embarrassed. Wally had a date. I remember watching this. Wally had a date and he was embarrassed because he had a short sleeve shirt. It was immodest for him to go on his date with a short sleeve shirt. I think those days are gone pretty much, right? I don't know, you know. You know what that machine is? That machine is called a planer. What it does is it takes existing stock and it just shaves off. It makes it thinner. But that wood going in, oh, it's dirty. I mean, it's rough. Rough cut from the bandsaw mill. And like I said before, it's got all kinds of dirt and junk on it. And oftentimes, very oftentimes, something has to go. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Look in verse 21. Ephesians 4, 21. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off.
Yeah.
Put it away. That's what that thing does. You know what it does? After that wood's gone through there, there's no putting those chips back on. They're gone. It's clean. You put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. We brought baggage into our life. We added it. And now we have a new reference. We're in Christ. It's time for a little purging.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
If you've never purged, I just wonder, where are you?
That's right.
Just saved? Or what? What kind of life is that? You still got all that doo-doo on you.
Right.
You're still rough. I've told this story before, but you know, about 3 months after I got saved, I don't know if somebody preached it, I just felt convicted about the music that I was listening to. So I took all my vinyl albums. Anybody know what a vinyl album is? Vinyl album, you know? We lined them up at a friend's house. We took a deer slayer and we shot them. Shot them with deer slugs. There were so many of them, the slug wouldn't go to the end. I had to shoot from the other side. Just blew them to bits. Oh, my friends, my lost friends were so angry because they were precious, some of them, right? They were rare. They weren't precious, they were poison.
Right.
Purge it. Get rid of it.
Right.
You know, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. It was time for me to think about better stuff. Maybe it's time for you to think about better stuff.
Yeah.
You got some doo-doo? That stuff's... I can think of other words, but you know what I'm talking about. It's not good. It's not clean. It's not healthy for you. Get rid of it. Put it away. How many know what that is? What that machine is? It's a router. It's a little handheld router. That piece of board had been through the planer, a little work done on it, and it was coming along, but you know, it had some sharp edges on it. Sharp edges are not acceptable when you're dealing with people. I mean, that's not, you wouldn't want a sharp edge on those wooden pews. You wouldn't want to sit on a sharp edge of oak, because oak's pretty tough. It can splinter and it hurts and so on. Kids run into it and so on, and we run into it. It's kind of like our life. Maybe we've purged some of the junk. Some of us still have a sharp edge. In fact, people will even tell you, "Oh, gee, you're awful sharp today." Not in a smart way, but you're curt. You're rude. You're not really pleasant to be around. Doesn't mean you're not saved. Doesn't mean, right? You're just like, well, yeah, I'm there. I've purged, but there's a little more work to do. Ephesians chapter 4. Where are we? Verse 25? Can't read it in English. Wherefore, putting away lying. Here's one. Stop lying. Right? Stop those little, oh, it's just a little, stop that business. Put it away. Speak every man truth to his neighbor. Here's another one. Be angry and sin not. You know, those little things in there that give you that edge. We say, he's really edgy today. If he was reading Ephesians, he wouldn't be. Amen? Don't be edgy. Grow up. Now, you look at that wood. I got to tell you, it looks nice. It looks great. But the master, if I could call myself that, I'm not really. I'm really just a nail bender. But for illustration's sake, the mistake that people make when they work with wood, maybe a piece like this, you know, it'll look great. But you know, on the surface, because it hasn't been handled very well, really there's like these little fuzzy fibers, and they're just pressed down, laying down. If you put the finish on now, oil or varnish, whatever you're going to use, those little fibers will swell up and they'll stick up. You come back tomorrow and it's like, what happened to my... It's all fuzzy and it doesn't feel comfortable. The master knows. You think you're ready. You look in the mirror, I'm there. But just below the surface, there's a few little... There's some whiskers there that got to come off. I'm not talking about facial hair. But we all have facial hair. We just keep it a different length. But, you know, that's the way it is. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Oh, really? Well, he does bless us too, amen? But that's a blessing in doing that. It means we're not bastards, but we are his sons. If you never feel the conviction of God in your life, you wonder who your father is. He scourges every son whom he receiveth. Every son. And that hurts. So what's that all about? Well, this is what it's about. That's pain. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. That's Hebrews 5 there. How would you like it if you were that piece of wood and the master was... You know what that is? That's an abrasive. That's sandpaper. It's a sander. Sanding is an abrasive. There's little grits embedded in the paper and it goes around. And I don't like it. You know what? That abrasiveness makes you a better person, though. You know that jerk that you have to work with, or that guy at the school, or that relative, that kooky relative, or whatever, right? That brother over that sits over there because you're over here, something like that, right? We say this about people. They're just abrasive. They're just abrasive. Instead of you like getting upset with them, maybe you should just learn the lesson. Why are they abrasive? They're abrasive because you're not as smooth as you could be. You're not as polished as you could be, right?
Yeah.
If you love them the way God loves them, they wouldn't seem abrasive. You'd enjoy it. I look at it as an opportunity to exercise my Christian faith with you, brother, friend, formerly guy I hated, right? I won't get into mother-in-law jokes. But I tell my mother-in-law, of all the mother-in-laws that I have, she's my favorite. After that sanding, then you put in the oil. Oil's often pictured like the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost working in someone's life, right? And boy, it really looks good. Ephesians 4, verse 24. Oh, I'm in Hebrews. Okay, that makes sense. Ephesians 4, 24. That ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You know when someone, they've been with God. They've been on the anvil, so to speak, right? And boy, you see him suffer. You see that purging and that pain and that abrasive. You see that God just wearing them downward. When they're in it, it's tough. But when it's done, they come in and, you know, there's a shine to them. Amen?
Amen.
I went through, it's kind of like boot camp. It's like, oh, I'm glad. I don't want to do it every day. But you know, you know. All right. I got a spring in my step. I'm good now. Thanks, God. There's something about that. The oil and walking in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit and so on. You know, you can't put on that oil. If you hadn't gone through those other processes, that oil would just be wasting. It would just disappear in all the crevices and the fuzzies and all that bird dropping. It would be a waste. But now, after this processing, we start to get the shine. And boy, it looks good. And something else about the oil, it gives a little protection. A little bit. You know, something spills on it. Some accident happens. And you feel in good shape.
But we're created together. All so far, we've just had one piece. But our pronouns, Black Creek Baptist Church, it's not I.
That's right.
Our pronouns are we. Here's my young assistant there. It's kind of, I don't know if you can see it, but he's looking down at the parts. If it's just one of you, and now you're polished, but you're only one, you're just like one piece of wood. You were designed to be part of a team. You were designed to use your shine to shine others, to function together.
Amen.
One piece of wood is just a shiny piece of firewood, you know? So we're made to fit together. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. You haven't got there, go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. This sounds like woodworking terminology. For whom the whole body fitly joined together. Now is that by dovetail joints or miter joints or half laps or saddle joints? Whatever works where you are, compacted that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of each part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So all the pieces together are worth more than the sum of the parts.
Amen.
There's a long word for that. I forgot what it's called. We used to use that Kodak, but you know, whatever. It's just all the pieces. If it's just a piece, it's just a piece. You all, look at me. You all have something. You're all a part. God has a design. You're like a snowflake. You're unique, right? All of you. We come together, though. Why? To showcase how shiny you are? No, to build the body. Someone else here, you can help them and you can encourage them. Someone comes in and they've had a rough week. And, you know, they've had a bad hair day or no hair day or, you know, whatever. Amen? Hey, you can be a blessing to them. You've got something for them. So we're meant to be together. This is, I think we're almost done. This is the before, this old church church kitchen. And this is after. Now, I'm stretching a little bit. I don't know if I'd say praise, but God got glorified in that.
Sure.
Amen.
It covered up that old burn that the plumber left, and everything's it's looking a little, I don't know if you can see it from where you are, but it's looking better. Praise God.
Amen.
The workmanship, but all this is just all those processes together. You're better today than you were when you first came here.
That's right, yes, sir.
Because you've allowed God to work His processes in you. And the product's getting better and better and better. Not as ugly as you used to, you know. It's like, well, I'm not a masterpiece. Well, God's eyes you are. Amen? He loves you as much as anybody else. Your design isn't any greater or any less than some other person.
That's right.
Amen? He has a plan for you. You know, you're somewhere in these processes. You might be at this stage, peace. You don't have it. In other words, you don't have a reference edge. I'm not saved. Well, at least, if someone said, at least you're honest. Praise God. That's a good start.
Yeah.
Be honest with men. Be honest with God. That's good. But after, don't be surprised that after you get saved, some stuff's got to go. But this dirty stuff, it's no good. It's not going to hurt you to get rid of it. It's going to help you. You're going to be more valuable. You'll be worth more because that junk is gone away. And then for many of us, we're often in number three, pain. Why do I, Brother Dale? You know, you suffer a lot. I can imagine a screw, broken hardware and a screw into your bones like that. I can't even imagine that. No, God's not done with you. Amen? We all have a screw loose. Yours is broken. You fit right in here, brother. But, you know, that's a physical pain. We all have an emotional pain.
Sure.
Amen? There's no hardware for a broken heart. But hey, don't give up. Don't think it's only you or it's difficult. There's an old thing, the old goldsmith. I don't think they do it anymore, but when the master goldsmith, gold has a lot of impurities and junk when they mine it and they mill it. And they throw it in a really, I don't know the temperature, but it's very hot. And it's all molten. And the master goldsmith will stir it, and all that junk will come up to the top, and they'll skim it off, clean it off. This is in the old days. Clean it off. And they'd say this, the gold was ready, the gold was good, when the master looked down upon it, and he saw his reflection clearly. When the master looks down upon you and he sees his reflection clearly, it's not distorted with junk and debris and, you know, slag or whatever is in gold, but his reflection clearly, that's good. It's good. But in the meantime, it's got to be painful. Oh, it's hot. I'm being stirred and shaken and burned and so on. Amen? Hey, take heart. Amen? You're a child of God. That's a proof. And then some of you are into polish stage. That's not Polish, but polish. Some of you might be into polish stage, whatever. Some of you you're there and you're a good part. But you're alone. You've got gifts and skills, but whatever reason, you're not building the body. Hey, come on. Did he have you go through that just so you would be a nice shiny hunk of wood by yourself? What good is that? In all the creation, God said, it's good, it's good, it's very good. One time he said, it's not good. That was when he discovered Adam alone. Amen? God wants us to be together. Bring your part. Let's build. Let's be edifiers. Let's use our tongue, our life, our resources. Let's build other people up. Because God is glorified when we do that.
Amen.
Amen? An edifice is a building. We're edifiers. We build.
Amen.
We
don't tear down. We had enough tearing down. We're building up. And then his product. We're the result of his workmanship. Amen? I think I'm... Oh yeah, this was the class. There was 300 in attendance in this one. We don't have 300 here, but you probably heard me as clearly as they did. I hope it's not. I hope it's not a joke or a distraction. I hope you can see yourself somewhere in there. Take heart, amen. Take heart. It's God. God is good. Amen. Well, hang on just a second. We're gonna do something a little different. Are you ready for a change?
Amen.
Maybe somewhere in there you need to change.
I'm going to ask Pastor asked what trust means.
Amen? I think you do.
Yes.
I don't know if you still will, but... Where are the deacons? Deacons, come forward. Who's a deacon here? You should know who you are. Pastor Hain? Pastor Hain, would you come forward too, please? Amen. Pastor and Mr. Ben, would you come and stand there? These men have a confession to make. They saw something in your life, and they decided, they took it upon themselves. We took it upon ourselves. Change you. Change that something in your life. I hope you're not offended.
No.
But
need a lot of change.
Your church family and people outside of this church, any good friends, have been praying and they love you. They want you to change. They want you to change this. They want you to take these car keys for your brand new, almost Cadillac car that they're giving to you. It's outside in the parking lot. Would you like to see it?
I got the keys. More.
Can we give Pastor? It's okay. Can we give him a round of applause?
You need a car that you can trust and go on.